Well, this morning we talked about who God is, and we talked about who man is. So this afternoon we're going to talk about what God has done, because this morning we were left with a great dilemma. And the height of how awesome the one true God is, it leaves me in absolute wonderment. And the depth of our depravity as human beings is cause for much grief, and the great dilemma that this creates, it should elicit a sense of fear in everyone. So let's recap real quick from this morning. God is the creator of everything. He created us, and we should all live for his glory. All of us are sinful by nature and have failed to glorify God as we should. All of us, therefore, are guilty and subject to God's condemnation. But behold, there is hope. Whereas we humans are corrupt to the core, the Bible declares that God is love. And in his great love for us, God established a plan to save us before the beginning of time. And that plan reached its climax approximately 2,000 years ago when he sent his son Jesus into the world to be the sacrifice for our sins, to pay the penalty of death in our place and to give us eternal life. You see, Jesus was miraculously conceived by God's Spirit and born to a virgin to live among us. He lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth, satisfying the demands of God's holiness that we talked about this morning. And when he was in his 30s, Jesus was killed, and his death satisfied the demands for God's justice that was required. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again, proving that he is indeed the true Messiah. And so 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father. So our loving God offers to save and forgive those who place their faith in his son Jesus. That is the core of the message that we need to be proclaiming to the world. So what has God done? Let me give you a few more of his characteristics. God is our Redeemer. A Redeemer is somebody who buys something back. As our Creator, only God can redeem us from our sin. The Bible calls this salvation. And throughout the course of my addiction, when I was surrounded by trouble, most of it self-imposed, mind you, but I refused to put my trust in God. I was running from the reality that he was very gently trying to reveal to me. And I was attempting to solve problems in my own way, refusing his instruction. I relied on my own intellect instead of him. And what an incredible fool I was. My friends, let me remind you that there is no one without sin except for Jesus Christ. And because of Christ's sacrifice, when you acknowledge your sin to God, he stands ready to forgive you. And only he has the authority to do so. God's forgiveness has nothing to do with your good works, nor can any of your bad deeds, on the other hand, prevent him from saving you. Because it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about him. He forgives because of his grace. It is his gift to us. And remember, that's why Jesus had to die. Jesus bore our sin, yours and mine, to make us right with God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, there is a succinct summary of our dilemma. In verse 23, of God's solution in verse 24 and how that solution was accomplished in verses 25 and 26. So allow me to read that to you this afternoon. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's the dilemma. "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." There's his solution. And the rest of it tells us how that solution was accomplished. It says, "Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. And it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." What an incredible promise. You see, God is our faithful Father. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, we read that he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. So another astonishing truth about God is that he adopts us as his children. I mean, let's think about that for a moment. To be a child of the one true God, the creator of the entire universe, and the Lord over absolutely everything. Again, that's mind-blowing. I mean, it's incredible. Not only does he declare us righteous in his sight and free us from condemnation through the sacrifice of his son, but he adopts us into his family. Isaiah 40:11 reads, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." So for those of us who place our trust in Christ Jesus, God is our adopted father and we are his children. We are even considered born of him because of our spiritual birth, and his unwavering love towards us is endless. He faithfully takes care of his children like a shepherd does his flock of sheep. Isn't that a rich picture of how much he loves us? He's always with his people who are dependent upon him every single day. So, we know who God is, we know who man is, we know what God has done, so what is the only reasonable response? So what must you do? What must I do? Let's recap one more time. God is the creator of everything. He created us, and we should all live for his glory. All of us are sinful by nature, and all of us have failed to glorify God as we should. All of us, therefore, are guilty and subject to God's condemnation. But God sent his son Jesus into the world to be the sacrifice for our sins, to pay the penalty of death in our place and to give us eternal life. So what should be our response to all of this? Well, there's only one reasonable response: to repent. To repent means that you recognize that you are a sinner who is unable to help yourself. It means that you not only feel remorse about your wrongdoing, the breaking of God's laws, it means that you turn from your wicked ways and you start living your life for his glory, not your own. In 1 John 3:23, we read, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us a commandment." So we must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive eternal life and experience peace with God. You believe what God has done for you? So let me summarize what we've discussed so far using the book of Romans in the Bible. Romans 3:10 through 18. "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Romans 5:6 through 8, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 10:9-10, "If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." And Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friends, God delivered me from the destructive life of addiction. He demonstrated his great love towards me in a way that I had never before experienced. And his ways are so much higher than ours. And I'm living proof that he can redeem anything and he can redeem anyone. Even the mess that I created has been redeemed into a platform for God to proclaim his great message of love and forgiveness. And my story is only one of his many acts in history. I know you all have your stories. And, you know, with this good news, we have to make a choice. When we share this good news with other people, they have to make a choice. And there's only one right choice. Accept who God is. Accept who you are. And surrender to God today. And if you've never surrendered your life to God, please don't put it off. To put it off until later is to reject him now. And to reject him has frightening consequences. So let me leave you with these three passages. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Psalm 66:5 says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. And Romans 5:5 says that hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So my dear friends, cast your cares upon him. There is hope. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor anything present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, you are the essence of love. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Thank you for allowing Jesus' death to satisfy the demands of your justice on our behalf. And I pray that everyone listening right now will experience your great love and be filled with your undeserved love. That is my prayer, Lord, that we all might live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.